now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change lanes. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are once again here on a Tuesday evening. Ladies and gentlemen, Crave Wrestling in the house. No longer Wolfpack in the house. Crave Wrestling in the house. And so there's two words that I have to say for this Tuesday night. And those two words are, hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
Derek, our Raw correspondent, slash newly found fantastic co-host, newfound position for him, and he's excelled his way to our new co-host, and he's doing such a fantastic job that I want to thank Derek so much for just his fantastic work for Crave Wrestling and Pancakes and Power Slams. We are at episode number 84 on the road to 100. Got some fun stuff online on course for episode 100. Until then, you know how it works. 347-884-8452 is the number to call live. Chat room. We got some trivia, of course, as always. And tweet at Crave Wrestling. It's nothing new. For all of the new listeners, thank you so much for listening to us for the first time. All of our frequent listeners, thank you so much for continuing to listen to us. Go ahead and flood the chat room. I see people starting to come in there now. And let's have some fun. But let me start off with the first trivia question of the night. Who, and the host cannot answer, who did Ed Ferrara parody in WCW? Who did Ed Ferrara parody in WCW? I know you know the answer, Derek, but give the chat room
I know the answer. And I want to thank Chris Featherstone for bringing me on as a Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent. And I just want to thank Dino Bravo for being Canada's strongest man. And that is an excellent thing to be proud of. So thank you, Dino Bravo. Thank you, Chris Featherstone. And, hey, I got something I want to say for tonight. It's something I want everyone to ponder in the chat room and Twitter. It's something I thought of earlier. I discussed it with Chris for a minute, but not too much. Who was a better commentary team? Was it Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse the Body Ventura in the 80s, early 90s? Or was it JR and Jerry the King Lawler? Jerry the King Lawler and JR had a lot more opportunity because they had Raw on a weekly basis. But then you've got Gorilla Monsoon, you've got Jesse the Body Ventura with the whole Gino Hernandez or Gino Monsoon. Excellent. So who was better? And the future president of the United States, Jesse the Body Ventura, was excellent in his role in wrestling. Other than that, we can talk about that throughout the show. I just thought it would be something interesting. Let's keep this going. What's everyone's opinions? What's everyone's thoughts? 347-884-8452. Let's make this a side note for tonight's extravaganza with Pancakes and Power Slams. We're on the air for an hour and a half. We could be on the air for 4 hours and still wouldn't be enough time. Let's continue the roll. Give us your thoughts. Twitter, chat room, carrier pigeon, telegraph, whatever's your thing. Let's keep going. Chris Featherstone,
or you
back
can have
to you.
It in a, or you can have it in a stork. You know, one of those storks, those cartoon storks with the
stork, yeah,
that carries the babies. Yeah, you can have the answer there if you want to. But I think that's a great question. I think it's worth. I think it merits some time right now. Actually, I don't think that there's really an. I don't think there's even a dispute. I think that the better commentary team was undoubtedly Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse the Body Ventura. Now, Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler, you're right, they had a little bit more as far as total years together. I would say Jim Ross and Lawler had the nod for total years together, because if we're really adding them up together, we're looking at around 93 was Raw debuted in January 93, and that's when Vince McMahon was still commentating, but he didn't stop commentating till I believe it was 90. I think his last time officially commentating was at the October 98, the pay-per-view that debuted the Hell in a Cell. But Jim Ross, so basically the Jim Ross King team lasted a good, I would say, about 9 years or so, 8 to 9 years. And Jesse Ventura and Gorilla Monsoon was probably a solid. What do you say? Probably Gorilla
solid
Monsoon.
Home run.
I would say so.
They
probably
kind of
like
started
the
whole thing going. I mean, as far as the one who's the smart, prolific wrestler, as far as Gorilla Monsoon looking at everything from, you know, a sportsman angle, and then Jesse Ventura just kind of being the heel of the group and just saying, nah, that's not right, that can't be. Being more of the novelty of the team, and that's kind of what JR and Lawler was. JR was always serious. But, yeah, they did. They originated that, Ventura and Monsoon, and there was nothing in wrestling like that until they started it.
Yeah, I like the fact that I think that Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse Ventura, they played off each other a little better because I think that their style of commentating was just, it just felt better because you got because with King, with Jerry Lawler when he was more of a heel, I mean, it was okay, but at the same time he was just making just corny jokes that didn't have a good shelf life. And so with Jesse Ventura, he would just rib on the heels, and then you would get Gorilla Monsoon, would you stop, you know, and Gorilla Monsoon and then Jesse Ventura would say, well, I don't know about that Gorilla. I think that Dino Bravo is a little bit better than Snake Roberts tonight, Gorilla. And then, you know, Gorilla Monsoon, would you stop? You know, and so I think that it was ultimately, I think it was a better type of play off of each other compared to Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler. I think that Jim Ross is a better play, is a better analyst than Gorilla Monsoon. I think Jim Ross is probably the best analyst, play-by-play analyst that we've ever seen. I mean, there's a lot of names that goes back. Of course, you got your Gordon Solis, you've got your Tony Schiavone's. Who can forget about Todd Pettengill? I mean, I don't know when he did play-by-play, but who can forget about Todd Pettengill? Very, very interesting comment on the chat room. I never cared for Jim Ross. He was too over the top for me. That is a bold statement. I disagree wholeheartedly. I appreciate the comment in the chat room, but I don't
Stone Cold.
I understand the over the top, but you can tell that Jim Ross had such a passion for the business, and I was and I mentioned this beforehand in a previous show about the Mid-South DVD. We actually had a Flavor of the Week about Mid-South, and that Mid-South DVD was just so fantastic. And I followed Mid-South back in the day, but I really got a chance to watch some more tape, to watch some more videos in Mid-South. And I watched it was a match between Terry Bam Bam Gordy. He was the UWF heavyweight champion at the time. He was defending his title against one of my personal favorites. This person is so underrated, and I think that he should have been a world champion in the WCW or the WWE, and that goes to Steve Dr. Def Williams. I grew up a fan of – there was something about Dr. Def Steve Williams that was just so catching. That was just so appealing and so charismatic to me. He would do the whole Oklahoma shuffle and the Oklahoma slam. He would pick up someone and run them to the post, and he would, slam them. I was a huge fan of Dr. Def Steve Williams, and he was so underutilized in the WWE and the WCW. And, I mean, of course, him and Terry Bam Bam Gordy had a really good tag team in the WWE. But at the same time, and of course, when he was with the Varsity Club, but he was so underutilized in NWA, and he should have been a top guy without question. Dr. Def should have been a top guy in the WWE. And I'll tell you what, of course, Dr. Def's an Oklahoman, and a lot of Mid-South programming was in Oklahoma. A lot of it was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so he was like the resident babyface. He was the guy. And Jim Ross, even, in the late 80s, 87, 88, when Mid-South was around, Jim Ross, even then, was having that, as the chat room would say, over-the-top commentary, but it was so, but you can tell that he just bled the business, and he was just so engulfed in his craft as a commentator that there's only a few people that you can tell that really appreciates their job, that is just really engulfed and entrenched in the business and love what they do. And Jim Ross was just, he was just a fantastic commentator in the Mid-South. And we got your Gordon Solis. I tell you what, I might get some stones thrown at me. And, God bless Gordon Solis. He's a pioneer in the business. But I was not a big fan of Gordon Solis. I mean, his commentary was a bit dry to me. And I remember watching Gordon Solis growing up in the NWA. And I just, hey, we've got Ric Flair with the belly-to-belly suplex.
He's a Tom Brokaw.
Yeah. That's a pretty good comparison. The Tom Brokaw of professional wrestling. I just wasn't very interested. I mean, and I think that, you can't deny Gordon Solis' achievements in the world of professional wrestling. I mean, Gordon Solis is a name of himself. He definitely was a trailblazer. He definitely set the tone for, most every other play-by-play guy. But just really dry. Oh, what a suplex on Harley Race by Ric Flair. I just wasn't very I'm just feeling very intrigued by Sully. So,
yeah, Sully, Steve Williams was underrated.
You said who was?
Steve Williams was underrated.
Steve Williams, he was one of the most underrated stars. And the interesting. What is up with you and I see a trend here. What is up with you and disco ballroom ish gimmicks?
Well, no.
What is Steve Williams?
Yeah, I get it. He was great. I don't really have that many experiences with Steve Williams. However, I do remember him. I think he's got brown hair, and Jim Ross brought him back to the WWE back in 99, 98. That didn't work out too well, but...
No, yeah. Unfortunately, it didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't work out too well. No, that was not a good idea to bring him. That was just a bust. And then I tell you what really hurt. I was actually thinking about doing this for a Retro Wednesday topic. But I don't know, you know, I respect the fact that WrestlingInc.com is an extremely reputable company, and you know, I'm very honored to be a writer for the company, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go overboard by writing an article about Oklahoma. When Ed Ferrara was Oklahoma, there's your answer for those who didn't answer or answered. I haven't checked the tweets yet, but Ed Ferrara, he was a booker in the WWE with Vince Russo, and Russo and Ferrara left around the Attitude Era, around what, 99, 98, 99, and Ferrara and Russo went over, and then Ferrara did a parody of Jim Ross, and it was quite, I'm not going to say that live on air, but checking on the chat room, that's true. But Ferrara, he parodied Jim Ross in the WCW. That was, they were really trying to look for edgy TV when him and Russo was around. So he does this mockery of Jim Ross, and he calls himself Oklahoma, and he brings out Dr. Death Steve Williams. And I must say, in Jim Ross, he was not a fan of it. He didn't, you know, his approval was not, his hands was nowhere on that idea. But I must say that it was incredibly funny. It was just so funny. I mean, please forgive me. I respect the heck out of Jim Ross. Like I said, he's the best play-by-play. To me, he's the number one play-by-play person of all time, but the Ferrara gimmick was just, it was so funny. And I remember when there was a cruiserweight match going on, and it was just a weird gimmick that was going on. It was a weird match, and they had like a pinata. They could have used a pinata, and he came out. And he was mocking Jim Ross, and he was like, "You gotta say," and I'm paraphrasing. He's like, "You gotta mean it." Like, he's got the stick. He's got the stick. And he said that, and that was hilarious. And then when Juventud Guerrero, he was a part of the cruiserweight match, he grabbed the pinata and, you know, kind of like the whole Stone Cold, he did pinata that way. Pinata! 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 Ow! And it was just absolutely, it was so funny. I mean, it was just so funny. I mean, please, please forgive me for the tasteless humor that I'm condoning right now when it comes to Jim Ross in Oklahoma. But YouTube it. YouTube Ed Ferrara mocks Jim Ross, or Oklahoma WCW, whatever. YouTube that, and I guarantee you, even if you don't want to do it, even if you're like, oh, this is so wrong, you will chuckle. No doubt in my mind, you will chuckle. It was absolutely funny. He's got the stick! He's got the stick! And it was just, it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. But let's get to Raw. Let's get to Raw last night. First, we had CM Punk defeating Luke Harper. And I knew that this was going to happen. I figured that one or both of the big man, the tall big man of the Wyatt family, they're all big, but Harper and Rowan are tall. And I knew that they were going to be fed to Punk and Brian. My question is, though, is are Luke Harper and Eric Rowan going to be the match, or is it going to be Harper and Rowan against Punk and Daniel Bryan, or is it going to be a 2-on-3? Is there going to be a third person that comes around before SummerSlam? Before Survivor Series, because we're looking at three weeks here. So who's going to be the third babyface in that you know, six man match there? So I like what I'm seeing, though. When they first did it, I like that, because it gets Punk away from the title picture more. It gives Daniel Bryan away from the title picture, which is needed for both of them right now, especially Daniel Bryan. But I was thinking, okay, so what happens? I know they're not going to do a 2-on-3 handicap match at Survivor Series. That would be a bad idea. But Daniel Bryan comes out, makes a save. So far, so good. I'm liking how they're formulating this angle. I just wonder who the third person is that helps that help out CM Punk and Daniel Bryan.
I don't know. I don't like the angle too much. I like CM Punk. I mean, he was big news. Now he's forced to face the Wyatts, and the Wyatts haven't done pretty much jack of anything. They are pretty much a useless trio anymore to me. Kind of boring.
In other words, the Wyatt family doesn't amount to jack squat.
Jack squat. And you know what else doesn't? Your Ed Ferrara comments on Jim Ross earlier. How dare you? Hey, how about when they made fun of Billionaire Nacho Man and the Huckster?
Oh, yeah.
So, that was just as good. But Daniel Bryan, well, I mean, where's he going now? So he's out of the title picture with him. So now he's going to be teaming with CM Punk and going against the Bryants. The Wyatts. It's kind of lame. I don't really see the storyline going very far, and it's kind of ruining CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. It gives the Wyatts the advantage, but they haven't been interesting for about 6 weeks now. So, I mean, that's kind of my take on it. Don't see a whole lot coming out of the feud. He's going to be the third man. Does this guy, the Raw correspondent, really care? Not really. I think the storyline is it's kind of by the wayside now. So, I mean, what are they going to do with Daniel Bryan, CM Punk? He's just going to be another person on Raw. What's up?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the Wyatt family. The Wyatt family just has not been. I'm just not interested. I'm not interested in the Wyatt family. I don't know what the hype is. But the one thing I have noticed, though, is that a lot of people agree with the fact that the Wyatt family has not been have not lived up to the hype. When I do my SmackDown review articles and I addressed that before, a lot of people surprisingly agree with me as far as the Wyatt family not living up to the hype. But I'll tell you what, though. It is good for the Wyatt family that they are feuding with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, because I think it's the well-needed angle that really the WWE kind of shot themselves in the foot with the overhype. I mean, we got weeks and weeks and weeks of vignettes just to lead to a Kane feud that, you know, hey, yeah, we'll definitely get the Kane here soon. Whoa. We will definitely get to Kane here soon. But Kane was a good selection for the Wyatt family to feud with. However, Kane doesn't have enough steam. Kane doesn't have enough momentum. Kane doesn't have enough, ability himself right now to really put the Wyatt family over. And I think that they were banking on Kane putting the Wyatt family over and really putting them on the map. But it really goes to show how much Kane is not as impactful as he used to be. I don't know exactly what caused that. Now, of course, the mask off of him, it was a bust. I wasn't a fan of it. When he first took it off back in, 2002 or 2003, when him and RVD were tag team champions, and then all of a sudden he turns on RVD, takes the mask off. I wasn't a fan of it then, but I got used to it reluctantly. But Kane should wear the mask. I mean, that's the whole mystique of Kane, and he should wear the mask, especially retire. We're not going to see Kane much longer. Kane should retire in the WWE Hall of Fame with the mask, and I have no idea why they're even trying to. Got to come in the chat room. We'll get to that. Also, tweet at Crave Wrestling and call in live like 347-884-8452. I'm gonna read that comment in the chat room when we get there. But I disagree. And that goes to show probably where we're gonna head as far as my opinion on that. I'm salivating to get to that, but we're gonna get to that soon. But we'll get more to the Kane situation here soon. Ryback defeating the Great Khali. They're trying so much to still make some. They're trying to give some life to Ryback. It's just a failed attempt. It's a failed attempt. Ryback is a non-factor, and this guy, he is just a big man. Nothing. He's just nothing. They're trying their best to make him relevant, and Ryback is irrelevant, totally irrelevant. They shouldn't even try anymore. They made the mistake when they didn't capitalize on him being a face. And I tell you what, I attribute his demise to The Shield. The Shield became popular at the expense of Ryback's popularity. He was, you know, the whole Feed Me More, that was getting over so much. And then The Shield comes in last Survivor Series and just really extinguishes what we have of Ryback's career. And Ryback has not rebounded since. Ever since the multiple attacks on Ryback and losing against losing at TLC. It was him and Team Hell No at TLC. They lost, and then him was it he lost at the. He lost at the Raw last January at the TLC match that he had against CM Punk. They cost him the title. Then he lost at Elimination Chamber, or it was him, Sheamus, and Cena. The Shield sabotaged. I mean, they destroyed the momentum of Ryback, and even with his heel turn, he was irrelevant. Even when he tried to be with Paul Heyman, it was irrelevant. Now he's coming out by himself without Heyman. still doesn't make a difference. He just needs to be – he's like almost at jobber status, and they tried to bring him back. They tried to give him some type of revival by beating Kali. But, I mean, really, does anybody get any type of career revival by beating the great Kali? The great Kali, he wins one match out of 367. So it was horrible. They did the same thing. They decimated Ryback. They did the same thing to Daniel Bryan this year. At least that was a comment from chat room. At least Daniel Bryan won two WWE titles. Now Ryback, it seemed like WWE never really wanted to. They didn't feel confident to pull the switch on him completely. They just didn't, because this guy, like I said, the losses, and then he was runner up at the Royal Rumble. Now let's think about this for a second. Runner up at the Royal Rumble this year, gets eliminated by John Cena, and where does that lead him? That didn't lead him to a world heavyweight title picture. It leads him to a feud with Mark Henry for WrestleMania, which is a good idea on paper, but what happens? He lost at WrestleMania. There's no excuse to that. He should have beat Mark Henry at WrestleMania, but he tries to put Mark Henry in a shell-shocked. Mark Henry falls on him, which causes him to just a horrible finish, and he loses. So it's Ryback is done, period.
Ryback is done. He's been done for a long, long time. Ryback is a jobber. I mean, he's a nobody. He could have had momentum. They decided not to. The reason Paul Heyman hasn't come out with him, Paul Heyman's hurt for that little body slam that he got from CM Punk on top of Hell in the Cell, which a four-year-old could have survived and been happy today. But I kind of want to get back to when you said something about Kane not wearing a mask. It kind of makes sense for what his role is now. They're making him like the corporate buffoon, the corporate servant. And
the corporate Isaac Yankum, that's who he is.
Isaac Yankum. Dr. Isaac Yankum was against – he fought Bret the Hitman Hart. What SummerSlam was it? What year? And who was Dr. Isaac Yankum's manager?
Isaac Yankum, BDS.
BDS. But not his manager, but he did
mental
work on
Jerry
somebody.
Lawler. Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, whatever.
Absolutely.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh,
you
am I right?
Good job, Jerry Lawler. But
oh,
again,
yeah,
what SummerSlam? What year was it? And also, Kane, go ahead.
SummerSlam 1995.
Oh, very good. Very good. Let's hear it for Chris Featherstone, the Pancakes and Power Slams guru. But I get
absolutely
the Kane thing. I get the why he's not wearing his mask, because they're trying to make him look professional. Before he goes, before he's done, retired, and goes to the Hall of Fame, his mask will come back. He'll always be the mask. But I understand why they don't want him to wear the mask now. What are they going to do with Kane? It's almost like a last-ditch effort with Kane. What does Stephanie McMahon and Triple H have in store for him? That's great. But, again, with the Ryback, it's totally done. Kali, yeah, he wins one match out of every 658 or whatever you said. It's disgraceful.
Yeah, that's a little bit more accurate, actually. I gave him a smaller
Ryback just needs to go away for a while. And even if Paul Heyman can't bring you out of the dust, there's one man that can. His name is James E. Cornette. Back to you, Chris.
Wow. Cornette again. Ladies and gentlemen, Cornette managing Ryback would just be just total career disaster for the
both
of them.
He would be the champion.
No, and then Ryback, And then Ryback would come out to the Midnight Express music and think that he's going to get over. All of a sudden you'll hear, "Feed me more." Doom, 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 doom. Yeah.
James E. Cornette would be like, "Yeah, feed me more, I'm hungry."
There's, yeah, you probably would be hungry. I don't know, man. Interesting.
What are you going to do with Ryback? What are you going to do with Ryback? Seriously, what are they going to do with him?
What are we going to do with Ryback? Ryback needs to go away, and he needs to feud with either go away. Or he needs to feud with. I have to say this on the chat room. Got a comment. Come on, man! Didn't we have this discussion about Corny last week? I think Corny is in all caps too. I totally agree. I think that Corny will be a running joke on the Pancakes and Power Slams show for the foreseeable future. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to have the Crave Wrestling team, I'm going to have the Crave Wrestling team see what we can do about getting Cornette here on the show. I'm sure that he would oblige.
He would oblige.
James Cornette was one of the best managers ever. I will agree with that. But he can't revive Ryback. That's the point. He can't revive Ryback, and I think that the best thing that Ryback could do is turn babyface again, start the "Feed Me More" chants. That's what got him over. The "Feed Me More" chants got him over. And another interesting comment on the chat room, I read that Ryback has heat on him because he doesn't like to do appearances. That's true. That was reported by many sites, including WrestlingInc.com and the Bleacher Report. And I think that the heat that he had on him, and from the reports, they said it was even before his heel turn, so this wasn't really a new thing. It was he was doing his live appearances. He seemed like he didn't want to be there and such. And so, I understand why he has heat on him, not really being happy with the direction of his character. But come on, I wouldn't be either. Last October, he almost won the WWE Championship. If it wasn't for a Brad Maddox low blow, they could have pulled the switch, and they should have. They should have given Ryback the WWE Championship, because if they really had enough confidence in him, he was over. He was over, over, over. He was just, when he came in, he was fighting jobbers. People were like, "What in the world is going on here?" And then all of a sudden, John Cena's injury last year was a blessing in disguise for Ryback, because he got over. The "Feed Me More" chants were just deafening. His intensity worked. They should have given him the WWE Championship last year. And I think if they would have given him the WWE Championship, that would have really, really set the tone for Ryback to be one of the top baby faces. And even if it was for a short run, it would have worked. But now he's just a non-factor. But I tell you what would revive. Revive Ryback right now. If he turns babyface, if he feuds with Curtis Axel, and if he wins the Intercontinental Championship, Ryback winning the Intercontinental Championship as a babyface would help him. But anything other than that would just too bad, so sad. Let's go to Alberto Del Rio and defeating Kofi Kingston. There's not much to say about that. Kofi Kingston is just the brunt of another loss, and they just wanted to make Alberto Del Rio look good. And Kofi Kingston knows how to make people look good in the ring. The timing was a little bit off in that match. I was a bit surprised, because Kofi Kingston and Alberto Del Rio usually have good matches. They've had a good match series. And it's really hard for Kofi Kingston to make someone look bad in the match. But the time was a little bit off on Raw, and I don't know exactly why. It didn't seem like Kofi's motivation was there. I would imagine probably in his eyes, he's like, oh, well, here's another match I'm about to lose. And I guess the real question I'm going to pose in the chat room and on Twitter is, does Kofi Kingston ever – and of course you, Derek, feel free to answer. Does Kofi Kingston ever rise above
no.
the mediocrity that he's been witnessing the past 5 years?
No, he never will. That's too bad. He's typecast. He's a jobber. That's his role. I think he realizes that, and he knows it. That's too bad for him. Probably never get out of that. But I was kind of thinking, how about a Del Rio and Ryback feud? That wouldn't be too bad.
I suppose that wouldn't be a bad idea. I just think that Ryback just needs to turn. Yeah, that's true. But he just needs to turn babyface. He needs to. It's not working for him as a heel. Just not. It's just not. Randy Orton defeating Big E Langston. I think that this was a breakout moment for Big E Langston. And a lot of people know that Big E Langston is my guy. I'm a big fan of Big E Langston. I followed him in NXT and he's hilarious and I'm so happy that he's achieving and they're giving him a chance. They're really looking at building Big E Langston from the ground up on WWE TV, and I absolutely love it. This is one of the total pluses. This is plus all over. I mean, this is no matter how you look at it, no matter what angle, this is a plus because Big E Langston is finally getting an opportunity to be there's controversy that goes with The Rock because, you know, he is black and Samoan, and so, you know, you want to talk about, you know, the black world WWE, the black WWE champion, Big E Langston is that guy. He has the charisma. I mean, people saw it in NXT. He's funny. To be his size, he's fast. He's a fast guy to be almost 300 pounds and as short as he is, and it didn't seem like, you know, I've been in fitness for 8 years and I've worked with many people, and usually people who are short and stocky, they're not as agile and quick as someone who, you know, has a little bit more that is spread out more with their height. And so I totally commend what they're doing with Big E Langston. It was a breakout moment for Big E. The crowd, especially towards the end of the match, they were getting into it with Big E Langston. They were supporting him, and this is what they need. And after this match, I saw a Big E Langston and Randy Orton feud. I mean, I doubt that it's going to happen. I'm okay with them continuing to build Big E and have him win a mid-card title, but I loved it. I absolutely loved it, and I really hope that they continue to do this with Big E Langston because this is absolutely the right way to go.
It's the right way to go, but I don't think they're going to continue it. I just don't see the WWE getting really behind Big E Langston just for his short stalkiness. Especially going up against Randy Orton, who's been there forever. And I don't see what they're doing with this. I don't see Randy Orton really having that big of an interest in Big E Langston. I don't see this feud going anywhere. It would be nice. I'm in total agreement with you as far as that goes. I don't think the WWE is going to just keep this going. Big E Langston will have a decent run, but I don't see him being a top guy at all.
And that hurts me to hear, and I hope that that doesn't happen. I hope that doesn't happen. I'll tell you what, another question for the chat room. What do you think about this? Let me present this to you. Biggie Langston, you got a heel that wins the WWE Championship, probably someone in the likes of, unfortunately, Del Rio winning it again. And Biggie Langston wins the Royal Rumble and chooses Del Rio to feud against, and then we see a Biggie Langston, Alberto Del Rio match at WrestleMania. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs down. That'd be kind of boring for me. Oh, but actually, I take that back. Yeah, that would be a thumbs up for both contenders, because Del Rio hasn't done anything since he's had the World Championship, or since he's lost it. Yeah, that's a pretty good analogy. I'm going to agree with that for you. And if that does happen, great. But I don't really think they're going to put much heat behind either one at this point.
I don't agree. I disagree. I think that they're trying to find the niche of where they want Big E. And initially, they wanted him to feud against Curtis Axel. That would have been okay because that's when
that
Axel
right.
was with Heyman. Yeah, nowadays, no. I mean, it don't. Axel was just a non-factor, and we'll get to Curtis Axel here in just a moment. But when Heyman was with Axel, that would have worked. Now it's a better decision for him to feud with Dean Ambrose, because him and Dean Ambrose is just a better connection, a better angle than Curtis Axel. Now, I'm totally fine with him being U.S. champion. Like I said, I think that they should continue to slow build his face turn, feud him with some good people, especially if he wins that U.S. title. You've got mid-carders galore that could work. I would even be okay with the Ryback Biggie Langston feud for the United States Championship. That would also help Ryback, although he won't win. But at the same time, that would bring some type of relevance back to Ryback. But I think that him winning the Royal Rumble would work. I really do, because we have to get out of these people who, and this is why I was so upset that John Cena won the Royal Rumble this year, because we really need to get out of this decision of people who are already established world heavyweight champions winning the Royal Rumble. I think that's a horrible, horrible idea, because, for instance, someone like a John Cena, he could have cut a promo the night after the Royal Rumble and would have been in the WWE Championship hunt immediately. So why did he have to win the Royal Rumble? There was no point. And someone who – that's why I was okay with Alberto Del Rio winning back in 2011, because he was an uprising star. They really had a lot of stock in him. He was getting a big push, and him winning that Royal Rumble was a good call. And of course, you have like people returning, like when Edge returned and won the Royal Rumble. When the first time Cena won, he was returning, and that's okay. But at the same time, I definitely think that people like Ryback, people like Biggie Langston, those people would have really, really helped. It would have helped their career. If Ryback would have won the Royal Rumble last year, I mean this past year, I really think that it would have been a great, great idea to feud him in the World Heavyweight Championship picture, because the World Heavyweight Championship match we got was a babyface Alberto Del Rio against Jack Swagger. Bad idea from the very beginning, and it led to nowhere, which many, including myself, was expecting. Ryback versus a heel Alberto Del Rio last year would have been this past WrestleMania would have been much better than Del Rio and Jack Swagger. Although the Del Rio and Jack Swagger match wasn't a bad match at WrestleMania, the feud was just absolutely awful. So we need more of those rising stars to win the Royal Rumble, especially these days. You need to build as much. You need to build a star as much as possible. And I think that winning the Royal Rumble would be a fantastic idea. So, yeah, we need to see Biggie Langston win the Royal Rumble, and I'm okay with Daniel Bryan winning. CM Punk, he's another person who's rumored to win. I'm just not a fan of CM Punk winning the Royal Rumble because he doesn't need to. Daniel Bryan is not established as a champion enough to win, to not win. So I'll be okay with him winning. I got a comment in the chat room. I think Sheamus will come in and win the Royal Rumble. I surely hope they don't have him, especially since he won in 2012. That would just be a horrible idea. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with Biggie Langston. But I think so. I think Biggie Langston should win the Royal Rumble. He's my pick. He's my pick. I don't think he will, but I think that Biggie Langston should win the Royal Rumble. Next, we have a mixed tag match, Tyson Kidd and Natalya against Fandango and Summer Rae. I like this match. It was a good match. You know, you're integrating Total Divas that's coming back on Sunday, Tyson Kidd and Natalya. I understand the meaning of it. I was okay with it. It was a good match and a good mixed tag match. And I don't know. I mean, we've seen a lot of mixed tag matches soon. Are we going to bring a mixed tag match, a mixed tag team title? Has that ever happened in professional wrestling? Have we ever seen a mixed tag team title?
No.
Would it be any good?
No, it wouldn't be any good. I remember back in the Attitude Era, they had in the mixed tag matches, you could have the man could go up against the male could go up against the female, and it was okay. You can't do that anymore. They had evening gown matches and tuxedo matches and blah 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 blah.
I think AAA has it though. I think AAA has a. If I'm not mistaken, I'll look a little bit more into that. Or if
they do.
Crave Wrestling.
AAA, they jumped my car the other day. So, yeah,
no.
I love AAA.
Yeah, they have a mixed tag. The Mexican promotion, AAA. But I think AAA has a mixed tag team title, if I'm not mistaken. I'll look a little bit more into that.
Let us know how that goes.
They do. I'm looking at it now. I am correct. They had it since June of 2003. AAA has the mixed tag team champion, the AAA World Mixed Tag Team Championship. How about that? Yeah, I thought that.
Yeah, I'm
did.
Excited.
And I think that's of course that probably won't be of any point in the WWE since they can't even do anything with their mid card titles. But
yeah,
I am happy. I am okay with seeing mixed tag team matches.
Yeah, I'm okay with it too. Sure, why not? Anything with Fandango is absolutely wonderful.
Oh boy,
he's my pick
yeah.
for the Royal Rumble winner. But
wow,
let's. I'm just kidding. I'm not going on record.
That would be the worst
that.
Royal Rumble win ever. Period. The
I
worst,
don't know.
The worst.
It would be
Royal
Are you kidding me? That would blow everybody's mind. But anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
But yeah,
you're totally right.
Yeah, it would. Everybody would just stop watching WWE. Period.
Yeah.
And mixed tag team, yeah, I think it's pretty lame. Doesn't do anything for me. The Divas, I'm totally sick and tired of them. They add nothing to the show. If anything, that's when I get up and go shave or iron my shirt. And that's the honest truth. I mean, it's a shame to say that, but Divas division is just absolute garbage. They try to bring a stud like Fandango into it to energize it and make it good, but I don't even think that Hulk Hogan didn't make the Divas division any good if they were to bring him back in all of his glory. So, yeah, I'm over it. I'm done with it. Fandango, he can only do so much for that division.
Open the cockpit door, Hulk Hogan.
The Ultimate
Warrior. Yes, absolutely. And there's rumors that they're actually considering making a legitimate DVD for Ultimate Warrior back in 2014. I'm sure that would atone for the just demolishing of Ultimate Warrior from
that
self-destruction. I could watch that DVD over and over and over. And I'll tell you what, Bobby Heenan, I did not realize how much heat Bobby Heenan had toward the Ultimate Warrior until I saw that DVD. And I can watch that DVD over and over and over again. It's absolutely hilarious. And, I mean,
that,
you know.
Bobby Heenan
we'll
hates
have
everybody.
Yeah. We'll have a flavor of the week possibly in the future about the relevance of the Ultimate Warrior.
Let's bring Jim Hellwig on the show. Defend himself.
I tell you what,
if anybody out there in the chat room knows Jim Hellwig.
Yeah. Any connections to Jim Hellwig, who actually...
347-884-8452.
Yeah. Well, craverussick@gmail.com is the email to send as far as your connection to Ultimate Warrior, which he actually changed his name to Warrior. I think it was like in the early 90s that he actually was so engulfed and ingrained and consumed in his gimmick that he changed his name to Warrior. So he's no longer...
He couldn't be Ultimate Warrior because WWE owned the rights.
Right, yeah.
So he's just the Warrior.
He's just Warrior, yeah. He's not even Jim Hellwig, so that means that his first and last name is Warrior, and so his children,
Batman.
yeah, and his children's last name is Warrior. So last whenever you know his future, I doubt if he has future kids. But I'll tell you what about one thing I will say about Ultimate Warrior, he still has a good shape. The WWE the 2K14. Promos that he's doing is actually still in pretty good shape and is someone who's in his mid-50s. Approaching his mid-50s. But let's go on to Raw here. John Cena and Goldust and Cody Rhodes defeats Damian Sandow and Real Americans. They had the same match on SmackDown. Both matches was really good. Both matches were really good. I think that John Cena is really reviving, like I said, is really reviving the interest in the World Heavyweight Championship again. I'll tell you what, I almost could put my life on this that I will never be a John Cena fan, but I have to respect John Cena's work as far as what he's doing for the World Heavyweight Championship picture. It's being revived, and he's helping Damian Sandow. And I'm a fan of it. I'm a fan of what we're seeing, and I think that the match was good.
I think it was a good match. I still like Damian Sandow. And the thing with John Cena and bringing back Goldust and Team Rhodes, it was a great match all around. I'm not a John Cena fan either, but he does a lot of good for WWE programs. And he's going to continue to do that. Whoever John Cena's up against, 9 out of 10 times, he makes them look 50 times better than what they did going in. And Damian Sandow is somebody that I think WWE should really kind of hone in on and make him someone spectacular.
Absolutely.
And the only person that can really do that nowadays is John Cena. Why I keep saying I'm not a Cena fan, even though I talk a lot good about him. Just a wrestling fan in me doesn't want to like him, but I can't deny his true talent.
Yeah, we're on the same page with that one because both of us being traditionalists when it comes to a lot of the wrestling, fiber, it's just hard for fans like you and I to actually call ourselves Cena fans, and I have some good friends who are wrestling traditionalists just like we are that we'll be hearing them in a couple weeks with some new segments we have debuting here in the coming weeks on Pancakes and Power Slam. So please stay tuned. It's just going to be more and more fun as we continue to tweak the format. Got some really, really good reviews of our new format. And we're going to have a monthly special. We're going to have a round table with a number of other people just bantering all at once and just having a fantastic time before and after the pay-per-views. And just stay tuned for that, and we're going to have some great fun. But I agree with Damian Sandow needing to get a push. Next, we have Dolph Ziggler against Curtis Axel. Just real quick, Curtis Axel, irrelevant, losing clean against Dolph Ziggler, who has been losing clean against everybody else. That pretty much says how unimportant Curtis Axel is.
Curtis Axel's been unimportant since he debuted. Take the belt off of him. It's disgusting. Dolph Ziggler's a much better performer, athlete, talent. And if anything, Dolph Ziggler should pick up Paul Heyman next.
Yeah. Then we have the Usos defeating 3MB. The Usos is a fantastic team. Big fan of the Usos. And we had the Eva Marie and the Bella Twins defeating AJ Lee, Tamina Snuka, and Oksana. I'll let you have that moment, sir.
Fell asleep. The Divas division is just absolutely horrible. I'm so tired of it. I don't want to watch it anymore. I just wish it would just totally go away. Yeah, you got Superfly Snuka's daughter. You got Jim the Anvil Neidhart's daughter. I think we even saw footage last night of the wedding and Jim the Anvil Neidhart walking down
yeah.
the aisle.
Yeah.
Seeing Jim the Anvil Neidhart was the best part of the whole segment. I mean, forget about the wedding and the nuptials. Good Lord. He still looks like the Anvil. He could walk into the ring this minute and just absolutely pound
yeah.
it.
And have that laugh, that old Hart Foundation laugh.
Yanking on his beard. Man. I mean, that was the best part of it. The Divas division is just bored. I know they have that E show. I have yet to really watch it because I can't really tell you the difference between one diva from the next. I know AJ Lee. She's different. She's got a little spark to her, a little flair. Everybody else is run of the mill.
All right. Then we have Triple H calling out the Big Show. Big Show gets job back plus the WWE Championship match at Survivor Series. That was a long segment that was just kind of drug out. I wasn't a big fan of the segment altogether. more parts we saw was the Shield coming out, since Triple H saying since he works for him now, he's going to put him on the 401 handicap match. We get him getting outnumbered and then him getting an advantage. And then, ladies and gentlemen, total ridiculousness was on the WWE airwaves. The music comes on, and we get Glenn Jacobs in a suit. I don't even know. I don't even think we should call him Kane. Is he Professor Jacobs? Is he Glenn Boy? Is he Isaac Yankum reincarnate? Is he corporate Yankum? We shouldn't call him Kane. I'm just disgusted about what I saw. I mean, he's got some type of 73-year-old comb over hairdo. Mixed with, I think they just, I'm speechless when it comes to really trying to pinpoint an explanation of what we saw on Monday Night Raw at the end of the show. It was just absolutely preposterous and someone who is a fan of Kane's work as Glenn Jacobs, I am utterly disgusted of what they chose to do with his character. I don't know. I don't know what, and they're doing that to promote from what we've heard, you know, what we've reported. They took the mask off to promote See No Evil 2. Okay, not a big fan of that. I don't think that was necessary. But wouldn't you promote See No Evil 2 by actually having Kane not be a corporate punk, a dressed-up corporate, basically, he's like a stooge. He's like the modern day Gerald Briscoe and Pat Patterson. That's probably the best way that I can describe Kane, if you want to call him that now. Kane, he's a modern day stooge, and his, man, I tell you, 16 years of this guy is almost entirely down the drain, because this is the dog days of Glenn Jacobs, and that's before I continue to just rant and rave about that, to just rant and just be disgusted about that, and just, these are the dog days of who we've known.
Well, I totally disagree. This is things of Kane that's better, that's going to come. He's doing this now. Things are going to build up, and he's just going to come back as Kane, be the total. He's putting on a show for Stephanie and Triple H. He's doing this to try to trick them, to get them on his side, and then he's just going to totally throw his hands down. Flames are going to come out of the ring post. Triple H, Stephanie McMahon era is going to be gone again. And, I understand what's going on with Kane. I don't think it's gone down the drain. I think this is just something he's putting on. He's going to do this for the next few coming weeks, and it's going to totally blow up in Triple H and Stephanie's face. So I get it. Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what's going to continue to happen. So just give it some time, Chris.
I just don't like what I'm seeing. I don't like the direction. I mean, if with that scenario, with him just kind of being, you know, kind of groomed to be the corporate guy, just to go back on, you know, just go back to his old ways, I can hang with that. But I don't think that's going to happen. We've got some calls on hold, but I do got a special request. I believe that this is going to be the right number. I hope so. This is going to be the right caller. I sure hope so. Chat room request here, but let us know your name, the city you're from, and your thoughts on this Kane massacre we're experiencing right now.
Yeah, this is Chuck, and I'm calling from Orangedale, Texas. And,
fantastic. Good to have you on the show, Chuck.
All right. It's good to be here. Good show, by the way. I've been tuning in religiously for the past 2 or 3 weeks, and I dig it. I like where you guys go with this show.
My thoughts on Kane
differ from yours. See, I think that what they're doing with this show, with Raw, is they're throwing everybody they can into the mix, and they're taking the right people out. For example, you mentioned they took CM Punk out. Daniel Bryan is now out of the storyline completely. Of course, John Cena has never even been in the storyline. So now they've added Kane. You have to understand, though, that the thing about that is that right now we're missing some key individuals from the lineup. We're missing Sheamus. You know, we're missing Wade Barrett and a couple of others that are out as well. So there's only so many things that these people can do. So they've added Kane into the storyline, and I feel like it's going to revitalize him to a point, because, see, a lot of times people, you know, they bitch and moan about characters being the same, and they never evolve. And right now what they're doing is they're evolving Kane. At least that's my take on it. They're evolving Kane, and, of course, eventually it will blow up in his face. hopefully this devil that they were speaking of turns out to be Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon is going to be out, and he'll be the puppet master, and you know, Kane will turn on Stephanie and so forth. I don't know.
That sounds great.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for your call. I think that's that has the potential to be something to really make sense. I the whole devil being Vince McMahon thing, it makes sense, and I think he was one of the people who were rumored to have to be one of those people. As far as, you know, why Bray Wyatt and the devil made me do it. And then Kane was another person who was rumored to be that person as well. I'm hoping, okay, Derek, you've convinced me slightly to wait. And I'll do that because I don't see it. I don't see much of an evolution with this Kane thing. I think he'll just be stuck in this corporate thing and just kind of wallow off in the sunset and probably come back as just Kane again and not have steam. But I will listen. I will listen and I will be patient and take your
better
fantastic,
be. That's all you've got.
Well, I can be impatient towards my feelings on Kane, but
it's going to happen.
The suit
Kane will get his
redemption. I can't deal with the suit Kane. The suit Kane has to go quick, period. Kane and suit is just not – I just what I saw yesterday, I wanted to barf all over the television screen. And I have a 50-inch big screen TV that I watch, and I pay a lot of money for it. So I'm not going to barf on it, but at the same time, I wanted to. And I would have sent the bill to the WWE headquarters for making me throw up at their programming when I saw Kane come out in a suit. Just, I'll be patient. I have a woo-saw moment.
It wasn't that bad.
I'll be patient. It wasn't that bad. It was that worse to me. But I'll be patient. I'll see how this pans out. Have some. I think Chuck made some good points, and I think that you've made me be a little bit more patient, and we'll see what happens in the coming weeks. I really hope that this – I tell you what, this better have a good WrestleMania payoff. We're 5 months out for WrestleMania, and this better have a good WrestleMania payoff, because if it doesn't, again, Kane was utilized in a bad way, which has not been much of a surprise or much of a shock in Kane's career. All right, real quick, hold tight, Derek. We've got our SmackDown. We really don't have much time right now as far as SmackDown and Impact Wrestling. Go to WrestlingInc.com. Check out my SmackDown and Impact Wrestling Day reviews. I do it every week. I have a lot of fun. This week on the SmackDown review, I had upwards of 250 plus, I don't even remember, I'll stop counting, like 250 comments. So really engaged in the SmackDown review this week. Keep it going. Thank you all for continuing to support my work on WrestlingInc.com. Retro Wednesday coming tomorrow. As a matter of fact, people in the chat room, Crave Wrestling, tweet at Crave Wrestling, CraveWrestling@gmail.com. Let me know tweet at Crave Wrestling. Matter of fact, those listening to the show, tweet at Crave Wrestling with your Retro Wednesday topic, and I will give you credit. I will give you Twitter. I will plug your Twitter handle, give you more followers, and I'll give you credit as the person who came up with the idea of the Retro Wednesday topic. It's Retro Wednesday has been, I think this is celebrating the 6 month anniversary, 6 month half anniversary of Retro Wednesday. It's been a success, and I've even had I've had emails about different suggestions of what to write on Retro Wednesday, and we're going to continue to have some fun with that. I usually think about them on the top of my head the day of, and they usually hit a home run every week. A lot of fun. Everybody wants nostalgia. Wrestling nostalgia is always a good thing, and Retro Wednesday really commemorates a nostalgic moment of professional wrestling. So Impact Wrestling highlights Dixie Carter in-ring promo, Bully and Rups, more Bully, Ken Anderson, Ethan Carter III, the jury's still out on him, in my opinion. Magnus winning the Gauntlet Battle Royal. Made sense. Gail Kim defeating ODB, bad influence in the ring, trying to solve the case of Abyss, and we got Eric Young coming out of Joseph Park, and then the Abyss coming out again. Looks like we're seeing Abyss again, which he's been out. So with Abyss, that means that they should bring back the TNA Television Championship. They need a legitimate mid-card title in TNA. They have to have one of those, period. And then Bobby Roode defeating Kurt Angle. Great angle going on, great feud, but I'm not too supportive of the whole Angle abrupt stopping, having convulsions. I'm not a big fan of that. And of course, check out the SmackDown review. The main event was the same six-man match that we saw on Raw. It was a fantastic match as well. So as far as the flavor of the week is concerned, we're going to spend the next 10 minutes finishing up on the series that we had, the thumbs up and down, thumbs up, thumbs down series. Not the entire series. We'll change it up a little bit come next week and go back to the thumbs up, thumbs down and weeks to come, because a lot of people, I've got some good feedback on the thumbs up and thumbs down series. But we're going to conclude the series, the four-week series that we had on thumbs up, thumbs down about certain people that should or should not be in the Hall of Fame. So we start off, the first week was Bam Bam Bigelow, Big Boss Man, Demolition, British Bulldog. And then we went to Alundra Blaze, Lita, Earthquake, One Man Gain, and then Sid Vicious, Brian Pillman, DDP, Terry Taylor, Tugboat. And the last few names that we're going to spend a little bit of time with, got a little bit less than 10 minutes here. First of all, we're going to go with Nikita Koloff, U.S. champion. I mean, you want to talk about someone who really just consumed his character. I mean, you got someone, you got a Minnesota-bred musclehead that turned into a Russian nightmare, and that Russian sickle was, I mean, it was deadly, you know, back in the NWA days. I remember when I was a little kid trying to do the Russian sickle on everybody, and just his theatrics with the sickle just really helped too. Because, and then at that time in NWA, he would have, you know, jobbers to really help out the fact of how intimidating this Russian sickle is. And he and Sting can go down as two people who rejected WWE contracts, who's never stepped foot in the WWE. I think they are the two most popular people who never stepped foot in WWE. And there was a couple times that Nikita Koloff was offered a WWE contract back then, but he held out in hoping for a better position, and he was supposed to be the top heel at the time, one of the top heels at the time. There was even a talks from research that I've done years ago that he was in talks at one point in time of being the top heel that was going to be fed to Hogan, because that's where most of the heels back then, they became popular because they were fed to Hogan. And so he was rumored to be one of those people. So I don't think there's any question at all. Nikita Koloff should absolutely be in the WWE Hall of Fame. Major, major thumbs up for me.
I'd give him a thumbs up. Not a major, major thumbs up, but I'd give him a thumbs up. I kind of compared him to Sting as far as he was one of the few that never really went, or he never did go to the WWE, even though he was offered. Yeah, I'd give him a thumbs up just because I know who Nikita Koloff is. I know the Russian Sickle. I mean, it was a deadly, deadly move back in the day. Everyone played it on the playground. He would have had a better chance in WWE than Sting. But I
absolutely
him to Hogan.
Absolutely, ladies
blah,
and
blah,
gentlemen
blah,
of the Crave Wrestling Universe, I have to send you a disclaimer, and I have to apologize about the rubbish that you just heard, and from our esteemed co-host Derek making a mistake, and we all make mistakes, and it's okay, you know, as long as you become better. Derek made a costly mistake by saying that Nikita Koloff would have been better in the WWE than Sting. That's absolutely false. You may continue.
Welcome to America, freedom of speech. And so on top of that, yeah, Nikita Koloff, he does deserve to be in the WWE Hall of Fame just based off his name, his demeanor that he had, the Russian Sickle. Everybody knows what that is if you know anything about professional wrestling. So, yes, put him in the WWE Hall of Fame. What's wrong with you, Vince McMahon? Let's go on to the next election, Chris Featherstone.
Absolutely. Eric Bischoff.
Yes.
Former top guy, top executive, president of WCW. There's many reasons, many theories of why WCW demise. But I tell you what, from 1995 to 2001, but in all actuality, from 95-98, because that's when WWE started to go downhill. WCW started to go downhill with the Monday Night Wars, and after around 98, it was curtains from them. But from 95 to 98, 82 straight weeks. That's a year and a half we're talking about here of straight consecutive victories for the WCW. And that's a big deal. I mean, a lot of it came from the mind of Eric Bischoff. So, thumbs up. We don't have much time. There's not much more to say. People knows his legacy. Thumbs up for Eric Bischoff. He should go in the Hall of Fame.
Thumbs up for sure. Eric Bischoff, there would have been no Monday Night Rating Wars if it wasn't for Eric Bischoff. Vince McMahon was the guy. WWE was the promotion. WCW was always kind of a smaller thing. They came out of nowhere because of Eric Bischoff. They put Vince McMahon's money where his mouth is, and that's all because of Eric Bischoff. He is one of the most intelligent minds of professional wrestling. He was a Vince McMahon. Not the Vince McMahon, but he was somebody that took WCW. He made the Monday Night Ratings War. He made wrestling awesome. He invented the Attitude Era. He forced Vince McMahon to make the Attitude Era. So Eric Bischoff was a boil on Vince McMahon's back, but it was the best thing to happen to Vince McMahon.
All right, let's spend 30 seconds on this team. Dudley's one of the best, in my opinion. Thumbs down.
Yeah, thumbs down. Done with it. Dudley's, yeah, they were great. Go get the tables. What's up? Yeah, nothing else. See ya.
Yeah, I agree. One of the most achieved, but not enough to make the Hall of Fame. Lanny Poffo, I chose him because the Macho Man Randy Savage saga. Read into it. I don't have much time. I don't have any time to cover it right now. As far as why the theories of why Randy Savage is not in the Hall of Fame, but Lanny Poffo's one of those. One of those people who is involved of why Savage is not in the Hall of Fame, because he wanted to bring all of the Poffo family. Read on it yourself. Like I said, I don't have time. I only have a couple minutes. But as far as Lanny Poffo being anywhere close to the Hall of Fame, absolutely not. Unquestionably no. Thumbs down for Lanny Poffo.
Yeah, definite thumbs down. I don't even know why you brought him up. I mean, there's really no reason to. So it's, yeah, I remember him as a genius. He was leaping Lanny Poffo before that.
Yeah.
Other than that, he didn't have much of anything to stand on. So, yep. Thumbs down.
I think Poffo, I think one of Poffo's frisbees have a better chance.
Oh, the frisbee, yeah.
Yeah, they have a better chance of one of the frisbee has a better chance of making the Hall of Fame. All right, a couple minutes left. Vader, Big Van Vader, Vader, and just AWA, you know, WCW, WWE, you name it. Very good big man, one of the best big man in the business. Real quick, I say yes, thumbs up to Vader. He absolutely should make the Hall of Fame.
The Mastodon! Yes, of course. Vader should be in there, definitely. And I'm sure he will be. Mr. White was somebody that he really embodied wrestling. He was serious about it. You could tell he was. If you've seen his interviews or his shoot interviews on YouTube, he was. He deserves every bit of being in the Hall of Fame. And terrifying heel, and he handed to the baby faces, so I'm all for him.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Derek, as always. It's Vader time. Who's the man? Yeah, Vader was one of the most hyped heels. I remember I wasn't a big fan of heels when I was a kid, and Vader was one of the only heels that I liked. He was just so – he had so much charisma. He was awesome. Fantastic show, as always. I'm glad we got to get a call in today. Chat room – fantastic as always. Keep it going. Let your friends know. Let everybody know. 84 episodes of Pancakes and Power Slams. Didn't get any read any tweets this week, but we'll continue to keep it going. 347-884-8452 is the number to put in your back pocket. Tweet at Crave Wrestling. If you have a Retro Wednesday topic, I will give you credit for it when I write the next Retro Wednesday article on WrestlingInc.com. Check me out there. Chris Featherstone also on the Bleacher Reports. Feature columnists is on there as well. Pancakes and Power Slams. We are on the road to 100. Some fun things up the pike coming soon. Until then, thank you so much for all your support, and have a great week and enjoy your week of wrestling. God bless. Goodbye.